Dad Mod's Media Machine presents the Brews with the Dudes podcast.
Yeah, I've never messed with it.
I mean, I've been depriving you playing with the motherboard.
I've never gotten to touch the sweet dials
on audio board.
The clicky light things.
Yeah, the Behringer Q1202 USB.
The more I talk about it, the more I realize why I haven't touched any of it yet.
Yeah, definitely. That's okay, man. That's okay.
It's all a learning process.
Yeah.
We're all of our areas. I know my peanut butter. You know your soundboards.
A jam.
Jam?
Jam. I know my peanut butter to the jam, to the peanut butter.
I got that.
Yeah, okay. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Brews with the Dudes podcast.
Yeah, and on
this show, we show you how to... I said podcast, so I'm like, my mind's trying to make me go a potty training direction.
On this episode, we show you how to take a leak.
Yeah. Well, because like we're dads that are... going through the potty training shit. Like,
well,
you're more.
I'm not going through the potty. I know how to. I'm potty trained.
Oh, you're not? You don't go through it with your kids?
No. I'm just like, sit on the toilet, go to the bathroom.
Oh, God. I'm doing this all wrong.
They walk in sometimes. Jeez. I'm like, yeah, see? Toilet.
Because, I mean, I'm sitting there on like a little like kid latrine trying to tuck my dick and balls into that little teeny seat. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm doing it wrong.
No, I've shown Roman a couple of times. Like, dude, you gotta, like, aim. You know?
You gotta point it. See, yeah. My son's little chair has, like, a little cup on the, like, on the seat itself.
Yeah.
Has, like, a little shield that's just, like, it directs the flow.
Yeah, it's like a mud flap.
Yeah, like, why don't they have that on regular toilet seats?
Some of the people I work with, they need that.
God, but that's the thing is, like, if you think about just the anatomy of it, though, like, I mean, does your dick sit on the top of the seat?
No,
not really.
The most awkward thing in the world, though, is when your dick just gets that brush on the front of the bowl.
Dude.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
Okay, so, like, there's, for the ladies that are watching, all of none of you.
Yeah, all three
there's
of you.
There's two sizes of toilets.
Yes.
There's the long toilet, and then there's, like, the short circular one.
Mm-hmm.
And women don't notice a difference.
No.
Men do. So... some of them, your junk is just, like, pressing against, not, like, the inside of the bowl, but just, like, the hard, like, the big rim that's around the top of it. Like, the, what would you call that, a flange?
Lip?
The lip, yeah.
Yeah, it's lip.
Like, the lip of the thing is just, your wiener is just pressed
just
against that.
Yeah,
it's
awful.
Worst thing ever.
It's worse when you're in public. Like, if you're at a gas station... and you're like, oh,
dude,
no.
When I realize it's a, like, a shallow toilet in a restaurant or wherever the hell, it's rare that they're at restaurants or
whatever. It's typically...
you don't see them out too often.
It's typically,
but,
like, an old gas station.
Yeah, it's... yeah, exactly. Oh. Or it's, like, a restaurant or something where it's, like, you know, they just opted for the shallow... whatever it is.
Because they're a bunch of cheap fucks.
It is the... I don't even think the prices are different.
It's gotta be. There's less material.
Or it's maybe a small bathroom, so they're worried about, like, space in front of the toilet. But I don't care, like... crack your knees. I don't want my penis pressed up against the rim, especially if somebody else's toilet. I'll do is I will kind of like lean back. Well, here, it depends on how bad you have to poop. Because sometimes you just don't have a choice.
Yeah,
you're peeing and pooping at the same time. It's happening.
Yeah,
if you get the choice, I'll kind of like lean and point back a little bit, take a leak, and then I'll just set my dong on the seat. Like, I'll just like lean, I'll move forward and rest it up there.
I don't want my junk touching the porcelain in any way, shape, or form.
Well, the seat isn't porcelain.
Nope. If it's
if
it's a public bathroom, I don't want my junk touching anything.
Well, just take your sock off and put it over your junk, and then you've got a nice shield. Problem solved. I don't see the problem here.
Yeah, no.
No,
thanks.
You don't do that? Okay, well, what about if you wrapped it in toilet paper so it looks like a mummified penis? I mean, it wouldn't look like a mummified piece. It just looked like a mummified package because you'd be wrapping the whole thing. If you took the time to wrap the individual components of your genitalia, that would be funny.
You put way too much thought into this.
This is just how quickly my mind is working tonight.
I'm impressed. It's because you don't have any alcohol in your system.
That's the problem. We should probably fix
that.
We
should probably fix that.
And I should put my hat on correctly. This is a joke while we were testing everything out.
Yeah, so. But see, now there's a bald spot and there's glare and...
Well, it's the whole forehead is just, there isn't a bald spot. There's just a big, there's like a five head.
Why does your hairline start behind your ears?
because I'm going for that Bozo the Clown look. It starts in my ears. That's why I'm growing facial hair out.
To kind of like to blend it together?
Well, it's me claiming my hair back. I'm taking my hair back. As it recedes up here, I'm growing it out here. So in my mind, I'm not losing hair. I'm just changing the location.
Relocation?
Exactly. It's a witness protection program. Top of my head did something wrong, and so I'm just like,
just gonna go here.
Move to Florida.
Like, oh, you haven't had nacho cheese on you before. Here, just grow here.
Precisely. Grab the beer, man.
What do
Grab
you want?
Grab me a, there's an IPA in there. I'm gonna put the hat on.
An IPA?
It's an IPA.
That's not an IPA, that's a winter ale.
It's this one. So you were just talking about how...
Stout. I will take the stout.
Yep,
you hold that.
That's for you.
Hold that.
This is mine.
Juicy IPA.
Juicy IPA. What am I trying to say here?
That's a stout.
That's a beer. So you were just talking earlier about how, like, you're not always in the mood for porters or stouts. And that's literally what I got for you tonight.
They're still my favorite kind of beer is always a stout. There's just something about the flavor and how you can kind of chew on it, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
I love that about it. But I've noticed if I go out to a bar and I have a stout, like I'm kind of full afterwards.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, maybe I'll just have Coors after
that.
There's,
like, there's definitely like a full feeling to some kinds of beer. You know, like you do feel like you can chew it. Like a really good heavy oatmeal stout, especially. Oatmeal stout to me is like oatmeal cookie stout.
Yeah,
like,
and see,
you feel like you're chewing something.
I love oatmeal stouts, Big Boat being one of my favorites. But yeah, that's a, like, I want to treat myself type beer.
Whoa.
This is Earthrider. Their stout's really good. I've had this before. It's a fantastic stout.
Yeah.
It's not as filling.
Right.
It's still a heavy beer, and I'm still not going to sit down and drink six of them because I'd probably just not feel well.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd probably have to go take a dump and then worry about my own genitalia touch and the toilet and all that, and I don't want to go through
that. Yeah, that would be a problem.
That's assuming that it's solid enough to even use the toilet. I might just be able to use a urinal.
Yeah.
You never know. But, yeah, so these are fine to have more than one of.
Yes. Okay, I'm following now. Well, and, like, I can stomach a handful of porters. Or not porters, IPAs.
Is that a hammerhead shark?
Yes. It's a hammerhead. Doesn't look like they're trying to do anything too clever with the design. So this is a Summit Slugfest. It's a juicy IPA. I'm pretty much obsessed with juicy IPAs. Portage and
if my daughter watches this podcast, which given the first 5 minutes she won't be.
Your 5-year-old daughter, what relationship does she have with juicy IPAs?
She loves hammerhead sharks.
Oh, cool,
like,
okay.
To the point
where you're gonna say like, oh, that's her favorite kind of beer.
Well, it's not like she drinks and drives. She's responsible.
That's true. She's pretty responsible.
don't let her go to
way smoother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was a little asshole tonight. If she had a beer in her, she'd be fine.
Oh, that's such a good point. She's having withdrawals.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. She's getting the shakes.
But she loves Hammerhead so much that she's asked me if my next tattoo will be a shark.
That's cool.
She's like, you should get a Hammerhead shark. I'm like,
now you kind of have to.
I kind of don't want one, though. I think
they're
cool.
You should get a Hammerhead. That's like a claw hammerhead.
I just get different ones. This one's a ball peen.
Yeah. And they're like circling each other.
How would you do a
arguing over who's the better hammer?
How would you do a rubber mallet then?
Or
does that not qualify as a hammer? Because it's
a
mallet.
I guess like it's semantics. I don't know. That's kind of I guess it's up for debate. What do you guys think? I don't know. Is a mallet a hammer?
It's a style of hammer.
Yeah. I mean, it's shaped like a hammer.
You
whack things with it.
Yeah, but then a bat could be a hammer.
Yes. Is a bat a hammer? Not the creature.
I guess.
Not the mammal.
I mean, I guess anything could be a hammer if you swing it fast enough.
Speaking of that,
could this baby bunny be a hammer? Yeah. Never mind.
Okay, I'm gonna go down that road. So the hippies,
the hippies?
All of the hippies that watch this aren't gonna love this.
Yeah, Steve, don't listen right now.
Many years ago, I think I was probably 16, So this was in the early 1900s.
I was going to say, was the light bulb invented yet?
No. We were ice fishing on Lake of the Woods, and so me and a couple of buddies were up there with his folks. And this was, of course, the parents that let us drink. So we're all sitting in a little, it's like a decent-sized ice fishing house. Nothing too big. It fit three of us in there fine.
Okay.
So yeah. We're sitting in there smoking cigarettes, drinking beers, you know, 16, because that's what you do when you live up here. Just getting trashed. And, like, we started all of a sudden catching a bunch of eel pout. So obviously it's the middle of winter. We're ice fishing. So you catch the eel pout. Eel pout are these big, disgusting eel-looking things. They're eel fish, essentially.
Yeah, I got that from
Google
the name.
Them. They're horrific-looking, right? Big, ugly, wormy, long.
Yeah, don't most people just kind of, like, for lack of better words, kill them? Like
pretty much.
Yeah, they just kind of toss them on land, usually.
So we just chucked them outside of the ice fishing house. We didn't throw them back in the water because they're, I think they're technically, like, an invasive species.
Okay.
So we're just chucking them out on the ice, and then they were freezing, which I... Thinking about it now, I was like, wow, that was kind of terrible.
Did you use them as hockey sticks?
I'm getting there. So, at one point, we started using them as bats. And we would, like, throw things up. And these are frozen eel pout. And we were cracking, like, rocks and beer cans and shit with it. And then we started having sword fights.
Wait, with the eel pout? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
With the eel pout. Yeah.
Yeah. That, kind of an asshole for that.
I am kind of an asshole, yeah.
At the same time, I remember going fishing with my dad back in, this is in Kansas, and gar were not, we're pretty common fish in some of the bigger so lakes ugly. Out there. And gar, if anybody knows about them, they're pretty aggressive, and they just eat everything. You know? Yeah. They're just a bad fish.
Well, and they're uglier than sin. So if you go to like a fish store, you know, where you get like a house fish tank or whatever, they probably have gar there because they're kind of gnarly looking.
Yeah, that's
kind of like evil looking.
Alligator snout to them type deal.
Yeah, they're hardcore.
And I remember going to the spillway, and you would see a handful of them up on the shore with the mouths chopped off of them.
Oh.
People would just kill them.
They like, cut the mouths they, off?
Some people would cut the mouths off and toss them back or just leave them on the land or what have you.
Oh, gross.
Because they would eat all the good fish.
Oh, okay. You know,
they
gotcha.
Eat the catfish or the bass or whatever.
They're bad fish because they'd eat the good fish that we want to eat.
Yeah, which is kind of a dick move, but.
So when are we going to be the invasive species?
Aren't we kind of already the invasive?
Yeah.
Aren't we the ones killing the planet right now?
But like, where's the aliens to come back and be like, the fuck, guys?
I'm sure if aliens have ever been here, they'd take one look at us like, they ain't got their shit together enough
for
this.
Yeah, these space monkeys are stupid.
Yeah, yeah, they're still fighting over land.
Land and
resources? Yeah. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, pretty much. And who's God is
so
better.
You're more concerned about this piece of paper that you put value to, and you think it's worth more than their piece of paper that they put value to?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because that makes fucking sense.
For now. Once Bitcoin comes out, then we'll have the global currency. And
whatever.
Yeah. You don't know anything about Bitcoin, do
no.
you?
No. I know it's
pretty cool, man.
I know it's worth a ton of money all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah, they skyrocketed. I think today they're at 39,000 a coin.
Jesus.
Which, I mean, there's only so however many millions that'll ever be in circulation. Like, there's a max to the amount of Bitcoin, so that's why the value is so funky. Because you think about it, you're just like, well, this silver dollar is just worth a dollar. It'll never be worth more than that. Like, not really, unless, like, collectors decide that it's worth more.
Yeah, but I was going to say, some that are worth more.
National currency isn't going to, like, just raise all of these things.
No.
But Bitcoin, it's like, it's going to continue to inflate as it gets more and more used until it reaches a certain point.
What the hell do you use it for?
It's just virtual currency. Bitcoin is amazing in that it's more than likely going to take over eventually because it's a decentralized currency, meaning that it is not controlled by the Fed.
Oh, okay.
Banks will never hold, they won't hold your money. You'll basically have a virtual wallet, and then there's a whole
weird,
crazy, like, network that they're all, like, intertwined into. And
it just sounds like an easy way for somebody to steal.
It's actually, like, from my understanding, it's way harder just in the way that it's like how sophisticated the software, not the software, the coding and stuff like that is. I don't know enough about the actual ins and outs, the code side of things, but if you think about, like, so how many times in your life have you dealt with fraudulent situations? Have you ever had your card stuff stolen, stuff like that?
Yeah, after they switched the little chip in your card, like, it's so much safer. A month later, my account got hacked. And I looked at the teller at the bank, I'm like, you're kind of full of shit, I think.
Yeah, so it's like, if you think about the frequency that those fraudulent things happen, I don't think that Bitcoin's going to be any less safe. I think if anything, it's going to be more safe. And I don't know enough about it to, like, give it to pay justice to the debate, but I'm just really excited about it. One, because I own a little bit of it, and because it's just it's exciting to see that human beings are working toward being kind of a globalized people.
I had a science teacher in high school that was talking about all that kind of stuff, and he was saying how if mankind ever wants to explore another planet, we first have to come together on the planet we're on.
That's an interesting theory. I don't remember the name of the dude, and I was actually just watching a video that described this pretty good the other day, talking about the sort of, like, the states of a species, and, like, how we're, like, at a level zero right now kind of species or beings, and once you reach, like, a level two, that means that, like, there's, like, all of the beings use, like, the same language, the same currency. We're able to manipulate the weather and stuff like that.
We can't even use the metric system in our country.
But we will in time. That's the kind of cool thing is you think about a lot of these things are going to become sort of more widely, more universal worldwide, which some people fear is the death of culture. But I don't know if I buy that. Yeah, I don't know.
This is the way I look at it. Is the sooner we can all be like, hey, if we just share everything, the better off the world's going
to
be.
We stop being assholes to each other and arguing over land and resources.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
like if we can pull all of our resources and work towards one common goal, well, instead of being, you know, we're restricted to what the resources we have in our country, and you're restricted to the resources you have in your country, we put them together, we can do some really cool shit then.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of like delegating responsibilities and that kind of thing. You know, like, obviously certain people would be better at textiles, certain people would be better with iron ore, steel industry, stuff like that. Sure. And for the most part, we have a pretty global economy right now. It's just like, it's kind of a screwy, very boomer kind of system, which is, you know,
it'll get there, hopefully.
It'll get it better. But where I was going with this is you were talking about sort of like this theory that once we solve the problems on Earth, then we can explore elsewhere. And this theory is that, like, or not theory, it's a model for once you reach, like, a level two, you become an interplanetary species. So once you've reached the point where you're actually, like, manipulating your own weather patterns and controlling almost every aspect of the planet that you live on, then you're working toward being a sort of interplanetary species. Which is kind of cool because I think maybe not in our lifetimes, but not too far off, we'll probably become sort of that, like, level one species. Like, our kids will see that.
Yeah, that's assuming,
like, we're going to start controlling weather soon.
That's assuming we don't completely fuck our world into non-existence.
I think that, but here's the cool thing that actually gives me hope is that, like, we know that there's problems. We know that there's things like global warming.
We're
and
aware
all these
of
problems.
It now. We just need to all want to fix it.
That alone is going to push us to engineer weather. And we're already doing it. Did you know that right now we can actually drop like powdered chemical, and it's everything's a chemical. If you think of water, I don't know if water's technically a chemical, but it's an element, whatever. Anyway, maybe it's not an element. God damn it, I'm just so good at science.
It's on a skateboard, it's an element.
Right, but like we can... nice. We can basically control clouds right now.
Okay.
Like they're already dropping silver dioxide or whatever into certain clouds and testing like controlling weather patterns and like...
Oh, shit.
Basically like it's causing rain when these clouds aren't and all this kind of stuff. Like we're already kind of getting there, we're testing that kind of stuff out. So it's exciting
That's awesome.
We're sort of in the infancy of a lot of those things, a lot of those engineering marvels that will hit soon. So it's cool, and it's like a lot of that should happen in our lifetime. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm almost 40, so hopefully I've got, you know, I'm maybe not halfway, I hope. You know, I hope to live into my 90s, as long as it's a healthy 90s.
Fuck, your goal is way longer than mine.
Yeah?
75.
You want to live to 75?
At least 75.
Oh, at least 75. At least 75. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Because I figure if I retire at, like, 60, 65, hopefully,
that gives me 10-ish years.
I figure in 10 years of retirement at that point, that's probably about the point where you start getting bored a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
you mean, like, after retirement?
Yeah.
So, we're probably not going to be able to retire until 70. So you're saying 5 years of retirement, you're going to want to, like, die? You're like, all right, throw me in the ground.
I want at least 10 years of retirement.
You're funny. So I have had a vision, and this I know this is going to sound so cheesy. You had a vision? Vision sounds cheesy, but just sort of like
it sounds very
this
cheesy.
Is a goal of mine, is that, like, I want to be that silver fox. I want to be that hot old dude who's still in good shape, who's taking care of himself.
Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but to be a hot old dude, you have to be a hot young dude.
Ouch, buddy. Touché. But no, what I mean is, like, I want to not get fat, basically. I want to stay in good shape. Like, I'm almost 40, and I'm not obese.
You want to be...
I'm a little... I'm teeny bit overweight, like, so I'm doing good so far.
I'm okay if I never become, like, ripped. Mm-hmm. But if I'm 70 and I'm still, like, able to be active, and I'm not talking like walk around the mall, like, I could still, no, but, like, I could still go.
Yeah, we've seen the grandpas who walk around the malls.
But, like, you could still go on some pretty good hikes and stuff like that, and
your
body can still tolerate maybe going around a track at 100 miles an hour, you know, that kind of stuff. Then I'm doing good.
Well, I feel like our body's an instrument, yes. So. Don't you want to keep it as refined as possible, or as accurate, or whatever the term would be?
Yes and no. I'm also a firm believer of putting your body through hell. Not like extreme constant. Like, I'm not saying go out and do heroin or meth. I'm not saying stuff like that.
That's just abuse. But that's, like, stupid abuse.
I think by abusing your body a little bit once in a while, you kind of teach your body some tolerance.
Yeah.
And then when something does happen, your body's like, all right, that's fine. I can handle this.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think in that regard, too, like, pushing yourself physically in exercise is a huge part of that, too. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people, they like to use the analogy of, like, you know, I party hard, and so that's how I keep my body, you know, like, that's sort of like that. Like, what you're talking about is sort of like a use it or lose it kind of thing. Mm. A lot of people will say that, like, partying is a part of that, you know, whatever. I think that's fucking stupid. I think what that really is... Exactly. Like, I think what that really is, like, you got to work out. You got to get that heart rate up. You know, you got to, like, work. You got to, like, rough a house. You know, dig a ditch.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is.
Do some physical labor.
Work your ass off until you're, like, ready to pass out. And then, after you sweat and you just feel completely worn the fuck out, I think that's when you've reached that, like, okay, good, you've used your body. Yeah. Your body remembers that it's an instrument.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put that.
Yeah, and so that's what I mean about, like, that. My goal is, like, I need to be a... light's flickering.
Yeah, the light's flickering.
I know I was doing that during the last podcast. is that, like, I want to still be a functional old man. Like, I want to be 75 years old. And, like you'd said, I want to be able to take a hike, a legit hike.
Or,
you know,
be like, I'm going to build a dining room table. Like, okay,
yeah,
cool.
I want to be able to ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
You don't see too many elderly people riding bicycles, and that's just crazy.
No.
Like, that seems like such a bummer, because bikes are amazing. Like, I love riding a bike.
Yeah, I still want to be that old guy that can, like, you know, not going to be out in the garage for 8 hours, but still go out and rent for 2 or 3 hours, or be like, oh, yeah, we're like, We're going to go not just on the Munger Trail, but we're going to go up Ely's Peak. Or, build crazy shit or whatever it is. I'm not saying I want to go rock climbing or jump off, you know, cliff jumping or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to just sit there. One of my biggest fears in life. I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm sitting there literally watching life pass me by.
Oof. Oh,
screw
no shit,
that.
Dude.
Screw that.
Well, and, like... The fact that you have that fear in the front of your mind is proof that you're not going to.
It's almost a double-edged sword, though, Because the and this is something I've, as the older I get, the more I realize about myself, is I become over busy. I overdo it. Gotcha. You know, and it's always with fun stuff. I've always had that philosophy of like, work is a necessity to make the fun things happen.
For sure.
But I'm always gonna, if I have the time to do something fun, I'm gonna do it. So I end up getting like working 40 hours a week, and then it's working on the cars with you, and then maybe soccer or bowling or disc golf, and oh, we're gonna go hiking. And the next thing you know, you're busy six out of the 7 days of the week, and it catches up to you. So it's that kind of happy balance.
Yeah, you do gotta like Hakuna Matata every now and again. I'm the same way. Like, I frequently, I don't know why the phrase comes to mind, especially days when I'm like really exhausted. The phrase burning the candle at both ends, or burning the wick at both ends, comes to mind frequently, because it's like, oh, I'm pushing myself too hard, you know? Like, I am, whether I'm building projects, I'm working a 40-hour-a-week job, I'm raising two kids, I'm having time for my wife, I'm, like, trying to edit podcasts, and, you know, blah, 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 like, yep. So it many all things. Adds up. And on top of that, I'm still trying to be physically active, too. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you feel just a little worn out. And I think it's good to do that as long as you're taking care of yourself at the end of it. You know, you're like getting out to just sit on a dock
and
have a beer or
that's
take
where,
a swim.
Like my wife and I, we're opposites in a lot of ways, but we work really well because she'll be like, you need to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
She'll be like, I get it. Like, you want to get as much out of life as you possibly can, but just step back.
Yeah, slow
down.
At
the same time, I'm like, let's do something. Like, go have fun. Go try this or whatever.
Yeah.
Go get some experiences. Because at the end of the day, when you're 80 and you're on your bed and your life's passing you by and your thoughts and all that, and, you know, you're coming to the end.
Yep.
That's all you got is your experiences.
Oh, fuck. I know, dude.
I know.
Yeah, and, like, not to get too fucking heavy, but if you think about it, like, when you're nearing the end of your life, what are you going to value? Well, the most important thing is people. You're going to value the people that you're around.
Most
friends,
of the people I'm around.
Family, children, not you. And, like, experiences. Beyond that, no one's going to think about the extra $5,000 they earned this year or that year.
Oh,
nobody
wow.
fucking
He was able
about
to
that.
Put $10,000 away in his 401k every year. No one's going to think that.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you're older, you might benefit from that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to knock investing, definitely going to say, don't work yourself to the absolute bone.
It's a fine line. Like, do enough to plan ahead. But at the same time, just remember you can get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Yeah, you can, dude. Well, my dad always talked about being such a workaholic, and now that I look back at it, it was like, my dad was working 14-hour days all the time.
I want to be at work as physically little as I have to be.
Right.
Like I said, it's a necessity. To me, it's a means to an end. What do I enjoy out of life? I like building cars. That's expensive as fuck.
Yeah, right.
I like getting tattooed. That's expensive as fuck. I like to travel. That's expensive as fuck. If I can't fucking talk. Expensive as fuck. There we go.
Expensive as fuck, yeah.
So it's like, well, how are you going to pay for it? Well, you got to work. So that's what also kind of helps. When I'm having bad days at work, that's what helps me sometimes. Like, well, by working this extra 2 hours today, even though I'm going to be tired, that's an extra so-and-so, so it pays for this part that I want, or... Like, we're going to Miami in a few weeks or like a month, roughly. It's like, okay, I can use that for this or what have you. And
As long as you strike a balance, for sure. But to get back to like the whole, you know, making sure when you're on your deathbed that you're satisfied with the way that you handled your life, man. Yeah, it's like
no regrets.
Yeah, no regrets. Regrets.
Is it regrets?
Regrets.
Yeah, regrets. Is it regrets or regrets?
I don't fucking know.
If you know, tell us.
Yeah, or don't.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So you haven't had three kids, but
I haven't had any
number
kids.
Number three is almost here. Sure you have.
Well, no. I mean, my wife has had three kids. Or two kids.
I feel like there was a joke in there somewhere about like poops, but I just couldn't come up with a good enough one. So carry on.
Oh, if we're talking about little shits, then
yeah.
Yes, I've had for some sure. little you got shits. A couple but... of those.
Okay, so baby number three.
Yes.
Almost here.
Yes.
In 6 months, 3 months.
May. She's doing May. Early May.
However
May
long 3rd. Ago that is.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, May's the 5th month.
Yeah.
So 5-ish months.
Sure. Yeah.
So, when are you getting a vasectomy? And are you getting one?
I'm going to talk to the doctor about an hour after my kid is born. And be yeah. like, hey.
You're not going to, like, give it a little bit of time to just make sure that this one's going to be, like, good, it's going to hang in there?
Nope.
No, you're nope. just like, this is it, I'm
yep.
done.
Yep. You pushed out three, that's what you get.
That's amazing. Mine is scheduled.
Is it?
It's scheduled. So I sat in with the doctor. Let me tell you, I kind of knew, like, I understood the principle of what a vasectomy is.
They cut you open, they snip.
Bro, I thought, for whatever reason in my head, I thought it was like they clamp them. You know, they clamp off the tube or something like that. So, you know, you got two nuts hanging in that bag, and they got a tube attached to the both of them, and that's how it delivers the spermies, right? I think, yeah.
Thanks for the anatomy lesson.
So, well, the viewers might not know. I mean, I don't know how, like,
do we need a whiteboard and a marker so we can draw a diagram?
Could. Well, I'll flash it up on the screen, maybe. I'll show the diagram. No joke, though. Like, they cut slits on both sides of the nutsack to pull the tube out, the vas deferens out, and then... Oops, sorry, guys. Can you still hear me?
Oh, yeah. God.
And then they snip it.
Oh.
And then they cauterize both sides, and then they tuck it back in and stitch you up. Isn't that the worst thing ever?
They better knock me the fuck out for that.
Every time I think about it, I feel it.
Yeah.
Not like a direct pain, but I feel a cringe.
So I got a buddy I work with who got snipped. Ugh. And apparently his wife was in the room when they did it.
Oh, God.
And the doctor asked her, hey, you want to make the cut?
Oh, my God, no. Did she do it?
She snipped him.
Ugh. Oh, man, I wouldn't sleep with that woman in the same room. I couldn't trust her. She's willing to cut your ball bag, tubes.
Every time she was doing the dishes and like washing a knife, I'd just be like, I can't be in here with you.
Yeah, she's holding a scissor. Oh, just freaked me out. Jesus Christ, she cut it?
Yeah, she cut
That's so fucked.
Yeah, and you were saying that they don't knock you out for it. It's not a long procedure, so they just numb you the fuck up.
You have two options, and it depends on like if you can handle it, if you can be awake for it, versus if you can't.
I can't be awake for that. You're knocking me out.
Well, it's a $5,000 difference.
Done.
Yeah. Sold. You don't care. So $6,000 to be knocked out for it.
I got insurance.
Are you sure insurance pays for it?
Hopefully.
I'm pretty sure it's an elective surgery. Mine is with my insurance. So, do you want to pay a G or do you want to pay 6 Gs? I'm going to be awake for it.
Wait, it's a grand just to get it?
So it's
fuck.
Surgery, bro. Yeah, I know. It's not cheap, but
that's
fucked. Ugh, yeah. Well, one CT scan is like that much, if you think about it.
I wonder if I can fight the whole it's an elective surgery thing. If I could go to court and be like, look at my kids.
Your court? You go to the court?
Yeah, go to court and be like, you really want one of these? You want more of these in town?
You want more of these around?
Oh, no, God. No.
You really want me reproducing more? I could think of a lot of people that'd be in that line first.
Well, see, here's the thing.
You're not going to have kids. You're not going to have kids. You're not going to have kids.
From a society standpoint,
women.
Because men can have kids. Like, when they're 90, they can still have kids.
But,
women have that time, you know?
Yeah.
So it would make more sense to be like, no, you're doing us a favor because we know you're not just going to pop out kids every other fucking week.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I think the biggest argument for, like, why dudes get fixed versus women is men, there's, like, almost zero physiological change. I think the only difference is that your nuts, when you bust, aren't as, like, big. Like, they're a tiny, tiny bit difference, apparently. That's it. So there's no hormonal changes, it sounds like. There's no change in sex drive. There's no physiological changes. You know, like, I don't believe there's less testosterone or anything like that. Women, man, it fucks them up, dude. They gotta, like, oftentimes they gotta do hormone therapy. they've Jesus. Like I've heard, and believe me, like I don't pretend to like know exactly what I'm talking about, but all I know is that it's definitely worse for women.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, like, wouldn't you want to just be able to bust nuts and not like think about making more kids?
I don't.
I mean, is that not what you're thinking? Like,
I don't. I've never fucking worried.
You've never worried. Oh, because your wife's always been on birth control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just do her thing, and I don't know.
Well, yeah, but like not that, all that, women. That's not, a, birth control doesn't treat every woman the same.
That's very true. That's extremely true, and I know not every woman like. Some birth controls will work for her, others won't, and like,
yeah,
it's all sorts of fucked up.
Oh, it's crazy.
Birth control in general is a little weird,
right?
Because what was the saying? I read a saying years ago that said, "Doesn't it make more sense to take the bullets out of the gun than shoot at a bulletproof vest?"
Oh, that's such a good point. Wow, that's a really good analogy.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I get that. Like,
well, so how would you do that? So, like, I wonder if they could engineer a procedure where it's like. Oh, okay, you turned 15, so we, you know, just hop on into the ball bag and we, like, lock off the tubes.
I can see it now, because, you know, men will always do things as cheap and easy as possible. And they figure after 5 years, like, oh, yeah, just a couple of twist ties. Like, you're good.
Oh, yeah, grab zip ties?
It might itch once in a while, but you're good.
They're just, like, hanging out in the garage, and the one guy's like, you want me to do it? I'm like, okay, and they, like... poke a little hole in it, you grab a zip tie. Ugh, God, dabbing plastic in you. I don't know, man. All I know is that, like, mine's scheduled, and now I'm terrified.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm terrified. It's, oh, God. I got two wonderful kids, they're doing great, so it's time to get the snip.
Let's get it done.
Ugh. God.
On a different note, you might be wondering what we're sitting for. I'm yes. done talking about your junk. I'm
you
sorry.
Really? Are you? God damn it. What kind of friend are you?
Not that kind of
not
friend.
Not talk about my genitals.
We don't have.
I'll show you. When it's done, I'll show you the stitches. Pull the stitches out, and I'll like show you the cut off tubes. Like pull one end out, point it at you like it's a spaghetti noodle.
It's all fun and games, so I spray some brake cleaner at you.
Jesus Christ. That'd be the worst thing ever.
You'd never show me your nuts again.
Well, I was watching Weeds, and like, so the TV show Weeds. Yeah. There's an episode
you're not
where
just
like this.
In the yard just like, staring at your grass?
Yes. Thinking, damn you. Always growing. And apparently,
lines.
Like, I won't go into detail, but like, there's just this scene where there's like the sun and then this chick or whatever, and I don't know if like. She gives him the wrong signal, so like he goes to like whip it out or something like that, and she grabs a can of spray paint because they're little hoodlums or spray painting something. And I can't tell if she spray painted his junk or spray painted like over his pants before he busted it out. Could you imagine God. Getting spray paint on your? You get perfume.
Oof.
You get cologne on your nutsack, and it burns.
The wrong kind of soap will
yeah.
go too. It's
can you imagine
fucking weird.
Spray paint Rust-Oleum on your nutsack?
Oh, no.
Yeah, anyway, that's the end of talking about nutsacks. So,
oh, God.
Tell the people about this shitty BMW behind you. Us.
Yeah, it's not going to have a BMW motor in it anymore.
Yeah, it's going to have the motor that's to my
that's
right.
That guy's going to go in it.
That direction.
Yeah, so as you guys could probably tell, we're in my garage tonight. So sorry about my house furnace. Going the entire time, but it's like 75 in here, which is fantastic.
Is it a house furnace or is it
yeah,
a
that,
mobile home furnace?
No, that came from Max and Kelsey when they remodeled
That's
their
so
first
funny.
House.
It's a whole house furnace, and you've got it
oh,
in
yeah.
a little garage.
Yeah, he went from
20 by 20 garage.
He went from fuel oil to natural gas, I believe. Mm. And
yeah.
he's like, $50, and I'll load it into your car. And I pulled up my Legacy, and we loaded it up and pulled it here.
That's so cool. Yeah. Yeah, that thing's awesome.
So.
Yeah, but anyway, so the E30, are you gonna sneak a peek at what we're doing? Did you tell the people?
I don't think I've
about the motor that's going
told
in.
People, so there's
Did you
people
mention
that
it?
Know, but yeah. I don't think I've announced anything yet.
I think we've hinted at it a little bit.
We have. Should we just go for it?
Yeah.
So
I mean, why not?
We've talked about nuts and birth control tonight. So what else?
Yeah. So why not talk about? You know,
so the motor that's going in, if you're a BMW nut, this is probably the part where you turn off the podcast and come back like 10 minutes later.
yeah.
It's not getting an LS because I have an imagination.
shots completely fired. I will empty that clip.
Yeah.
It is.
Wait, is this more genital references?
Sure.
You said it makes more sense to empty the clip and take the bullets out of the gun.
Yeah. That's not that kind of. No, we're not talking about.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever. we're swapping in an SR-20.
Yep.
Which is going to be fantastic. And it's financially has been a surprise.
Dude, it's.
But it's so worth it. I'm so excited. Well, the only thing
people spend freaking $15,000 on swapping a motor.
No. Like as far as swaps go, it's not bad. I keep buying parts. I'm like mentally racking up the bill in my head, and then I'm like, oh yeah, this is how much you paid for the car, though.
Oh yeah. You far exceeded that.
Oh yeah, but yeah. I mean, the suspension was half the value of the car.
Yeah, pretty much. That's just the way it goes.
So the game plan. So as some of you may know, I do not believe in trailering your car to events.
At all.
Yeah.
I mean, the time and place. Like, if I break down or whatever, it becomes a full-blown race car in the future, I get it. But the ultimate goal is to have a fun daily that can go out on the weekend and just shred the track.
And then come home and
I can take the kid to school in it.
Got to be able to drive to Kansas, race there,
and drive back. Yes.
Yes, that should be the ultimate test, because if the M20 can do it, the SR20 should.
Well, really, like, I think what our goal is going to be is, like, driving it to Road America. So we're going to try and figure out an SCCA track night.
That's a really
bad spot for that. Yeah, that wouldn't work out. SCCA Track Night of America, because we did one at Kansas, Topeka. Heartland.
Yep, Heartland
Park.
Heartland Speed? No, it is Heartland Park.
Heartland Park, yeah.
Yeah, went down there for some SCCA racing, saw some buddies. Found out that some chick looks like a cat's anus.
Yep. Yeah, so after a weekend of racing on that track and then driving it all the way back, that was a really good test of, like, how bulletproof is the drivetrain in this thing. And
which was surprising, because not shortly after that, about a year later, it got thirsty.
it blew up. Yeah, sucked a bunch of water in the intake, which you guys will see here soon enough. Yeah. But so the SR swap is really just sort of a, like, what is a motor that's going to fit in here as nicely as possible, require as minimal modification to the chassis as possible, and deliver 200-plus horsepower reliably.
Correct. And what's kind of funny is, there's kind of a cult following for SR20 swapped E30s. There's actually a Facebook page of an Australian group. And my guess is probably because they're right next to Japan, it's easy to get everything that they need.
Yeah, if I had to guess.
It's not super common in the States. There's a handful from what I've read.
There's only a couple.
There's one that's actually got a pretty good write-up and based out of California. But you can actually get Taiwan motor mounts for them that work. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's not a super complicated swap so far.
Yeah, it's been a little surprising.
The biggest headache I've had is getting a three-way union for my brake lights.
Really, that's the most annoying part, huh?
That's the only part I've ordered so far that hasn't worked out.
That's awesome.
And that's completely me being a dumbass, and just it was probably a mental overload of just looking after old parts.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at that and all the parts for the SR20 and. You know, you make that mental list and the physical list, but you're constant. You got six web pages up. And you're just cross-referencing and all that, and that's probably more on me than anything else.
Yeah, well, that's still, I mean,
it's a minor deal.
That's so cool to think that, like, that might have been one of the most frustrating parts of it, like trying to locate a special union, a brake line union.
I mean, we have,
considering you're sticking a JDM motor that is not available in the United States,
yes.
You have to, like, import these things, and we're stuffing it into the E30 sold really good. But they're not like a Camry.
They're
a Taurus, you know.
Yeah, they're. I want to put them in cult status because they're not.
But not like the.
They're
the
not
Mazda,
a Honda Civic.
Like a 323 GTX. That's cult status. Or Suzuki Samurai.
Yeah. They're kind Fiero's of that happy in between where there's a lot of them out there, so there's a ton of support for them.
Yeah.
But they're just weird enough that, you know, if it's your first sports car, you're going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, well, and, like,
some wrenching.
BMWs, and now granted, the E30 is probably, like, in my opinion, is kind of the best generation.
I think
because
so.
Because it's an amazing chassis. And, like, the IS, the 2.5.
Yeah.
The 2.5 is a phenomenal motor from the factory.
Well, and that's the funny thing. If this was a 2.5 car, I don't know if I would have swapped it.
Yeah, you probably would have left it alone and just made more power with that motor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is like, okay, you know, by the time you buy a 2.5 motor and you swap everything over, for a little bit more, I could start off with a better platform.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, and, like, the M20 has been incredibly reliable, and it's been, for the most part, you know, because you beat the
considering it's got 200,000 miles, and we did things with that car, with that motor, that should have never, ever taken place.
Yeah, exactly. Revved the fuck out of it, like, it raced it, drove it.
Raced it again.
A lot of times. You've done a lot of laps at BIR with that for Power Cruise.
Never passed anybody, but it did some laps.
No, and that's how that motor's coming out.
Well, technically the motor's already out.
Yes, well, definitely. Which, we got to hang on to it. What else are you going to do with it?
Have my shop space back? A lot of it is I need to kill a Saturday or something and get all this junk just up in storage. Just get it out of the way a little bit. Or maybe even just unload. Like, keep the motor, but unload, like, the brake booster. I don't need that. Like, just get rid of some of the shit that we're not going to need for anything.
I just think it'd be fucking awesome to get, like, an old Willy's Jeep and throw an M20 in it
or
something.
You've been wanting to modify a Willy's Jeep,
though. I've been obsessed with Willy's Jeeps forever.
I don't know. What would I toss an M20 in other than a dumpster? I don't know.
Nothing comes to mind.
Nothing. It's so
sluggish.
You
would put it in like a Chevette?
No. It's just kind of a good reliable motor.
What about if you just straight up built a hot rod? What if you just built like a T bucket? Would you put a?
I don't think the M20 is a nice enough looking motor for a T bucket. It's not a bad.
No?
That's not a bad-looking motor.
What if you got the ones that have the velocity stacks, the carb manifolds, where they've got the big stacks that are coming up
there? Those are a little bit
those
cooler.
Those are pretty sexy looking.
Yeah. But,
I'm just pushing you to try and find a chassis.
That M20, I don't know what it would look good in.
I still think a rat rod would look fucking awesome with it, especially if you did, downdraft carbs or if you did Gen V... throttle bodies, throttle bodies. I think they'd look freaking incredible.
I mean, I've seen M20s with ITBs on them, and they look pretty sweet. And they sound freaking gnarly.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. Maybe it's because it's so sluggish.
And if you put it in a chassis where it doesn't matter about going fast.
That's true. And so that's the concept I gotta get over. Is like, the point is to go slow. The downside is I have a slow vehicle. It's right there.
Right.
That's designed for that.
People can't see. They can see a reflection.
Yeah, they can see a reflection of it.
The orange turd.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I mean, I'm just one of those enablers who's always like watching for
you.
Like,
you and you, Sean and Paul are probably the three worst people I know when it comes to that.
Well, we're car farmers.
Oh yeah, you could do this, this, and this, and this. No, just shut up.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go with your plan.
Really, what we should do is just find another E30 shell that has, a pop motor, toss it in there, flip it.
Yeah.
Or just use that
find a rust-free shell, put all of this stuff into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it back in.
Maybe that's what you should have started with this year.
a rust-free shell. I've been looking, but so E30s have gone up in price enough to where what I paid for this running, I drove this home from Hokkaido, is what I would get now for a clean shell.
Oh, yeah.
They've gone up so much.
Prices have skyrocketed.
Yeah, and it's just... I just can't fathom. I've almost come to the conclusion that if I'm going to find a clean shell, it's going to be an estate wagon. And I'll just go all out.
Jesus.
If I'm going to...
I don't know if you can find estate wagon shells.
You can't. You can find them... you can find a handful of automatics.
Really?
But you're spending like 15 grand on them.
Well, if they're an auto, that's easy. You just convert it.
Yeah.
I mean, and they probably have like the firewall holes and everything.
I think it's all pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So why haven't you picked up one of those? Because that would be epic with an SR.
I don't have 15 grand.
For a shell?
I haven't seen any shells come up. I've seen running driving ones on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah,
see, it happens.
Well, Jesus Christ, we're working.
Time.
Parents. Yeah. Yeah, no shit. Yeah,
it is what it is.
Damn, dude. They're that much still?
They're, for Shell. I haven't seen any shells pop up.
Oh, okay. See, I don't actually know what you're talking about.
I'm out of my element. No, I've just seen running driving ones pop up here and there, and they're pretty pricey.
Yeah.
That's because if I understand correctly, they were imported to the States. They never sold them in the States. So therefore, everybody wants them, and you got to pay import tax, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's not like they're from Japan, where it's, like, easier to import them. Because I got a feeling, like, all the boats are coming through the Pacific, right? Isn't that where all the imports coming from?
I don't know.
I can't imagine they're crossing Europe for cars. I mean,
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think that they'd be shipping stuff out of the UK. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like most stuff that's coming out of Japan is coming in shipping containers directly from Japan
usually overnight.
I don't know. I'm assuming, yes.
Yes, dude.
Probably to California or Washington or something.
Yeah, and I
don't know enough about it. British Columbia, you know.
I'm not sure how that would work.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know how you'd get BMWs. But here's the thing, like, there's import auto auctions. God damn it, I gotta be yawning. Fucking alcohol. There's import auto auctions that has lots of Euro cars that pop up on it as well.
Really?
I've seen, like, Lancia, like, Delta Integrales, like, I would tons love of those things. There's one Evo that made it through, too. That was going for quite a few bucks. It's like 40
grand. So what you're saying, it's just
like
a money option. Anything's possible if you had enough money.
Bro.
Bro?
Bro.
Don't call me bro.
So I don't know how well these auctions are known yet. There are some amazing JDM shit that comes through these things.
Really?
I'm going to have to send you some links for it one of
Hell
these
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
we're talking like weird JDM stuff. Like
Delica
weird
or weirder?
100%. Delica, I haven't seen a ton of Delicas, but I've seen enough cars that are similar to it. The Honda versions, you get like a lot of the is it Korean brands? What are the, shit. What did Marty build? What's that weird little key car that he built?
Oh, crap. Shit, I can picture it in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a waggle van looking thing, sort of. But with two doors. Yeah, that fuck. What is that called? Oh, it's right there.
Mira.
Yes.
Daihatsu.
Yes.
Jesus, that was hard to come up with.
On that note.
The Daihatsu, so you see a lot of those coming through, but like a lot of like, you know, because they have a million like high jets and all that kind of stuff, like really weird looking ones, and they're coming through all these auctions. But then you also get like the giant estate cars, and you've got Toyota Crowns and all this kind of crap, like
damn.
These crazy looking old cars, and you know, yeah, you're getting like R30s, R31 Skylines and
it's
stuff.
Probably a good thing neither one of us have a lot of money. Cause it'd just be
it's not a lot of money. We're talking some of these stupid things are $5,000.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Shit.
I know. That's
that.
The thing. It's like I've shown the wife a couple of times some of these things, and I'm like, oh no. Like, I could come up with this money pretty easily.
Yeah.
Which is like, no, you got
to. Well, if I
would
have known that, I wouldn't have SR swapped this and just saved all my bucks and import something.
Yeah, you'd have been. Yeah, there's a little more that goes into it, but, you know, yeah, you could easily... I'll send you some links, and then you're going to be like, God damn it. Like, I need a 4x4 key car. Like, off-road 4x4 key cars. There's some cool shit.
I think it's a kind of a blessing in disguise that, A, I don't have the money, or B, I don't have the space for more cars.
A key car? You could fit that right...
Like, right next to the Grom?
Like right there.
Right yeah. next to the Grom.
Like a Honda City would fit right there. Jesus. Probably.
I would.
No joke, it might actually.
Technically, I mean, we had a conversation a few years back. She doesn't care as long as she can park her Pilot back here.
Yeah, exactly.
So it should
be
okay.
We'll just, like, key cars don't weigh a whole lot, so we'll just stack them.
Little does she know, I'm just going to keep pushing them into the yard.
He'll be truly a car farmer.
Oh, God.
That, one of those assholes.
That might be the breaking point, finally. I put that woman through some shit, and that might be the point where she's like, go.
I've had it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, my wife doesn't care as long as it's not affecting us financially, and it's not too much of a blight, too much of an eyesore.
Yeah, it'll
Especially now that our yard is actually kind of nice looking. Yeah, now.
Just build a bigger fence.
Just, if, like, keep adding to
if
it.
If she can't see it, you're fine.
But here's the thing. Like, you've seen behind my garage. I built my garage, new construction. So I figure out where I want to place everything and whatever. And we have some rules in Duluth that we have to, like, have a certain amount of feet from the property line and whatnot. So what I did was, like, I gave myself, I think, like, 8 feet or something like that from the property line. So you can easily fit cars along the back of the garage. So I can very easily just line them up.
I love that idea. So yeah. We should start buying some cars.
We'll make one. We should finish a certain Mazda, too, though. And a certain VW. And
We have... Well, it's like Jim messaged me the other day. He's like, hey, my car group's going to be building a 24-hour Le Mans car. You guys should build them and do a build-off. And I'm like, I love the idea. And I'm like, I'll talk to Jake about it, which I am now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, realistically, I'm like, we have 4 motor swaps in line.
24 hours of Le Mans? We're talking or lemons.
Lemons.
24 hours of lemons. Okay, so something that they might not realize, 24 hours of lemons requires, like, legit gear.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you have to do fire suppression. I'm pretty sure you need... I think you might need a cage. Maybe. Yeah. The fire suits alone are really expensive.
It's a lot more than just saying we bought a $500 Civic and we're going to go run it.
So, I'm not saying no, because there's a certain Honda that we have.
Yes.
That... we're talking about grabbing another shell for. So that might not take that long for us to throw it together. But the question is expenses.
Expenses and time.
Yeah.
And the more I think about it, it's like, this is going to get expensive. The shoebox is getting up there. That's going to get up there. Well, that might be the cheaper because that motor was free.
Yeah, because you've already got all the junk for it.
We got most of the junk.
Most of the junk, yeah.
And then the other one sitting outside could be expensive. You know, that's probably a few grand.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess that would be a good 24 hours of lemons.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, here's the benefit if you guys watch these podcasts. We got an RX-7.
Yes.
We have an RX-7 that's in decent shape as far as we know. But we haven't dug super interior.
Huge shout out to Wes, who hooked us up with the RX-7.
Wesley Snipes, you're the bomb.
Yep.
Yep. The white version. Yep.
No vampires.
We need to tear into that thing one of these days and get a look at it. Obviously, after the snow melts and we can
get to it.
But it's not rust free, but it's in actually pretty decent shape.
It's in perfect shape to put something with a lot of power in there and just smoke tires.
Yeah, and that was kind of the whole plan behind it. We're gonna just basically make it as a tire burner, just a burnout car / like intro to drifting kind of thing. Just slap a V8 in it and bake the tires off.
I mean, if we tap a wall on a car that costs us nothing, so be it.
No harm, no foul.
Yep.
Some harm, no foul. So exactly. We're not going to get to that in time for 24 hours. Not until 2022.
That's if we stay on track, which we never do.
No, we never do. Not at all. We also got a heap of motorcycles.
Yeah, you can see one.
Can you actually see it?
Yeah.
Hey, that's hanging. One that's gonna be in the in a build series.
Yeah, I got another one under the lean-to outside.
Which one is that?
That's a 360.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's the CB360.
We gotta do something cool with that one. It's a 2-cylinder.
Yes.
360s are all 2-cylinder. Yep. The 350 at a 4-cylinder.
That I want to do like a really small kind of stubby cafe racer type build
should
with it.
Hardtail it.
Yes. All of it.
Hardtail cafe racer?
Brat, as well. I don't know how. We'll just tie it all together.
Should we chop it, too, and just have, like, shitload of rake?
Yeah, and we put ape hangers on it.
So it's going to be a cafe racer,
chopper,
bobber tracker, chopper.
And we'll put knobby tires on it and go off-road.
Knobby tires. Dirt bike.
Yes.
And we'll take it off-road.
Yep.
It's going to have about a 9-foot width tire.
Something like that. And just to like make sure it's all Harley-like, too, whenever we're in a stop, someone just rubs the piss out of it.
Exactly. What we got to do is we got to like take the exhaust pipes that are normally like, an inch and a quarter or inch and a half
something
or whatever.
Like that, yeah.
we gotta taper that down to about a quarter of an inch. So you get a really good raspy sound.
I think we may able to just do a reverse exhaust. That way, instead of going back, it comes up
into your face. I thought, like, are you talking about putting it into the intake?
Yeah, we'll recycle the exhaust.
Exactly. It'll be the most efficient motor in the world. Runs up purely on carbon monoxide.
Yes.
Dioxide.
Carbon dioxide.
Jesus Christ. We're proving how incompetent we are with
it's science. It's late, and we're drinking beer, so.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, my man. Let's call it.
All right.
Let's end it. Let's let the people go to bed, go to work.
The four of you
go
that
jack
watched,
off, whatever they were needing to do.
They probably jacked off while watching this.
Yeah. You know what they're not going to jack off about?
Getting snipped.
Fast deference getting the snip.
Maybe they have a whole like nurse, doctor, patient fetish.
Thing. I know. If that's a part of your fetish, man, you got problems. Jesus Christ.
To each their own.
Do you think, like, could you? Well, no, you couldn't use a cigar cutter because you'd have to get the nut through it.
No. A cigar cutter is how you chop all of it off.
So, I'm just trying to think if there's another. Like, what is it? The dog nail trimmers? The dog toenail cutters?
Oh, God.
I got to stop talking.
Oh, man.
Jesus, I should have stopped talking 30 seconds.
Just wire snips, man. Just get it done.
Just wire snips? Dykes?
Dykes? Got snipped by dykes?
Perfect. I'm sure they prefer that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for another Brews of the Dudes podcast. I am Jake Lindquist.
I am Donnie Allen.
You should probably have known that by now.
Yep.
Probably should have started the podcast with that.
Whatever.
We didn't.
No, it just gives people a reason to watch all of it. Cause like, who are these fucks?
Yeah, who are these idiots? You got to wait till the end to find out. I don't think anybody's sticking around just for that.
Probably not. As soon as we start talking about your testicles, they probably signed off.
Or maybe they're more invested. I don't know.
Maybe that's when they picked up.
It's character development. Soon everybody's going to know that my nuts aren't attached. They're just loose, moving around in this empty bag. No, not empty. What am I saying?
Like a couple of jelly beans in a Ziploc.
Pretty much, man. Pretty much. They just shrivel up that small. Jesus Christ. Okay. Bye-bye. See you guys next week.
Peace.